Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons, Halloween at Crorn Manor. The Destiny's children got the invite of a lifetime and make their way to Crorn Manor with new friend Varnox. While at the party, they had many delightful beverages, took in the spooky ghost tour by Mr. Mortimer, which led them through the many exciting events that were coming their way. While on the tour, our heroes became a little interested in other areas of the house that they were told perhaps not to go. They became separated and found themselves under the influence of something mystical, magical, or just a bludgeoning to the back of the head by an unknown captor. Let's pick up there and jump in to Halloween at Crorn Manor, Part 2. And you go unconscious. All of you drift to sleep or go...
Or get knocked unconscious. Or forced to sleep. Yeah.
You don't know for how long, and you awaken in a dimly lit space. You see similar tile to where Sully had lit the match. There is a mirror on one side of the wall that you can see in this reddish-brown illuminated area. And as you all begin to come to, you look around and you see each other in corners of this room. You feel shackles around one of your legs.
Oh my gosh, you're not supposed to fall asleep at the party first. Do I have a dick on my face?
Let me see. Turn the other way.
It's a little far off. Is this the costume contest?
Yeah. No penises.
No, don't see. How about me? Do I have any phalluses on my face?
Nah, but you're still just a dickhead.
Yeah, thanks, Sully. Wait.
My head, like, can you? Is there blood back here? Somebody hit me.
It looks like there's glisten. Some more than the usual glitter.
Ouch. Yeah, you guys were like, I'm so tired, I need to take a nap, and then whack.
Wow.
Somebody hit me.
That's very nice.
That's not cool.
Ooh. No. That's very rude.
And it might have been Benjamin. I asked, because I heard kind of swinging doors, like the ones we went through, but I don't know.
Well, this is a concerning predicament. I do seem to be chained.
Yes, I have now noticed that I am also chained.
Yes, no, it's three times chained over here.
Yeah, same here. Let's see, what am I going to do about this?
Like, I don't want to be like such a, like a, you know, like one of those, but like, help! Kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
There's a sudden flicker in the mirror. This is like a static that begins to course through it. And a figure, a cloaked figure, you can't see any facial features, comes on and says, "Do you want to play a game?"
I mean, honestly, not at the moment. I should have used the washroom when I had the chance, is kind of what I'm thinking about now. And so it's not the best time. My head kind of hurts. I don't know. What are you, charades? Like, what do you think?
You seem to be the kind of people who like to play games with other beings and bring them to different places at random times. And so I decided that maybe that was time to happen to you. So you've got a choice now.
I'm sorry. Who did we bring somewhere random at a time?
At a different time?
Multiple times.
Is that multiple
Many
times?
Times?
Wow. I know I've had a whole witch's brew at this point, but I don't ever really remember doing that.
I remember having a dream about something like that, but it was, I don't know, I was being some kind of goody two-shoes nitwit or some shit. It was a nightmare, honestly. So it sounds familiar, but Philip, I don't think it's me.
So you're a bad boy then, Mr. Farnox.
Bad boys for life.
Bad boys. We ain't going nowhere, not with these chains around our legs.
Nope.
Nope.
That's right. So I guess we're playing a game.
What? Hold on. Is this your fault?
Is this whose fault?
My.
Well, I'm just wanting. You said you were a transporter, and that you transport people.
What's in the trunk?
That's true.
What's in the trunk, Farnox?
My buddy Jason.
You can't even let your captor get through his little monologue and diatribe without going off on your own tangents. You are all so selfish.
Well, I mean, I don't mean to sort of armchair bad guy speech, but you asked a question, and then that requires us to answer. So maybe next time, just monologue and leave the question for the end.
As a regular monologuer of evil diatribes, I would recommend leaving the thought of a rhetorical question out so that you don't get, dickish answers to those questions you don't want to hear the answer to.
Oh, yeah. If I hear rhetorical, I'm going on it. Yeah.
You know who didn't ask a lot of questions?
And the mirror begins to shift in space, and you see this slab up on a wall. And there's a figure, like, within the slab, and it, like, zooms, and you just hear off to the side, that's, like, off mic.
Enhance.
And it zooms in, and it's pixelated. It says,
No, like the CSI enhance.
And then the pixelation goes away, and it's a crystal clear picture of Moot encased in this stone carbonite.
He didn't ask a lot of questions.
It seems like he shoulda.
Yeah.
So what you doing with Moot?
Wait.
So the mashed potatoes wasn't real?
Who is that?
Oh, he's like our best friend.
He's the third Destiny child.
He's the third kind of Destiny's children. Oh. Is our group name, and he's the...
All right.
Yeah.
He's a hot.
Great guy. You'd really like him.
Okay, well.
He's really cool. Yeah.
So
this is a shocking development.
I feel ridiculous
sure about
now.
That. This is
no,
like,
not and, Moot. Yeah. You, purveyor of evil deeds. Is that?
That's exactly. That's exactly.
I felt
right,
disgusting in my mouth.
You, Mr. Varnox.
The screen begins to move back to the cloaked figure.
You are bringing about a certain amount of evil. And we just need to put that to a stop.
Oh, you jelly?
I don't think you're ready.
I mean, if I'm leading the charge, I think I've been ready. But let's see what you got. I'm interested. Maybe I can take some notes back home with me after this whole situation's taken care of.
The door on the opposite side of the mirror kicks open, and you hear the same music as when you went out into the garden. And the garden, and the zombie gnomes begin marching in, doing their thriller dance.
I remember
moving towards each corner, and encircling you.
We'll see if you can get out of this one.
And the door slams shut and locks behind you, and the mirror statics and fritzes and goes out. The music stops entirely, and you see these gnomes who before appeared to be like painted and modeled and like they were just putting on a play. Their skin is sloughing off their faces and like jaws hanging to the ground, and some are missing limbs, and they let out this blood-curdling scream and jump towards you. Everybody roll for initiative.
Oh, hell yeah.
God, I feel like I haven't rolled for initiative in ages.
I know.
How do I even do it? Oh, better than I usually
11.
Do.
I got a 9.
For Glim.
21.
21?
Well, I rolled a 16 and I've got a plus 5 initiative.
You got it. I don't. You want to roll for Hillip?
Yep.
Sully is 10. Ready for a dance fight.
I'm here for a dance battle.
Okay. Thing fits is light in the space begins to flicker. And these gnomes all pile on top of you. Everybody make a strength saving throw. This will be their first action.
Fuck.
16.
22.
Minus 1. 5.
Are the other people within a certain, within like 10 feet of me? How close is everyone?
I didn't specify how big the room was. Okay. Let's call it like a
11 large, feet.
A large bathroom.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Right.
So all, you know.
Are they within 10 feet of me?
Two of them, the corners right across from me, or like to your left and right,
right.
Yes. Person across from you, no. So let's place these people in this room.
Okay.
Damn hypotenuse. Get that whiteboard out.
Yeah. Damn geometry.
So we'll say mirrors on this wall, doors on this wall. And we'll go around in initiative order. Sully, Glim, Varnox, Hillip. So Hillip and Glim. Hillip's to your left, Glim is to your right, Sully is across from you. Sorry, okay. Sully.
Yeah, it's all good.
Those two get a plus 4 to their saving throw.
Oh, great. 26.
It wouldn't have helped you.
Well, that, sorry, Amy.
That brings Hillip up anyway, so.
Mm-hmm.
Dope.
So everybody except Sully saves. So,
I'm
so,
we.
Yep. So everybody was in a seated or prone position. Mm-hmm. You're shackled. All these gnomes are piling on top of you. They're attempting to restrain you. Sully, you are now restrained. They're holding you down. Makes sense. You're the smallest of everybody.
Seems unfair.
The other ones, they're just like clamoring at you, trying to get a grasp on you as you go around. So, Sully, you're first up in this. You would have to make a strength check to try and get out or do some other shenanigans as you see fit.
Well, I can shenanigan dagger them while I'm prone, yes?
They are holding you down, so you didn't actively have a weapon in your hand to begin.
All right, I'll try to make a strength saving throw.
Okay.
But I
just pee.
I was
on
just
them.
Gonna say, for the record, it's not just a struggle. It is weird and off-putting body undulation.
Okay, love it.
A high nat 20 undulated them right off right. of me. That's right, take it.
Yeah, the music starts back up as
music.
You're doing this, and it turns into just this Right Said Fred kind of vibe more than anything. And you're like, you're pelvic thrusting them off and into the walls.
I'm too sexy for these gnomes.
And this was as one was moving towards you with a dagger to plunge it deep into your heart, obviously. They are being thrown off. That is your action. You are now no longer restrained, still prone. We go to Glim.
Are any of them on me with the 26?
Yeah, no,
or
they are.
Like...
You are not restrained, so you are still on the ground, but they're like pawing at you.
They're just trying. Yeah. And are we just like one leg is attached to a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well. I guess I'll stand up.
Love it.
And then I'm just going to try and sword him.
Swording.
13?
13 will hit. Yep.
Oh, sick. So that is 13.
13 damage. So yeah, you
slashing
you
damage.
Stand up and brandish your sword and swing it down through this group of zombie gnomes who let out these moans and groans as they are several of them are eviscerated and just thrown across the floor in front of you.
I mean, two 13s, nailing the Halloween theme.
Yep.
Varnox, you're level 20 still, obviously, so you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, just burn this whole fucking
I downed myself. I guess level 18 is what I downed myself. I meant to do it to 16. Oopsies.
We are at 4.
Doesn't matter. Hey, there's all kinds of people at parties, okay?
Right on. Well, then I'm just going to do some light murdering.
Just do some light murder.
Yeah, you know.
Do whatever you got. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, then just Wand of Orcus. All you undead, shut up. It's fine. No. No, I'm going to, yeah, bust out the Wand of Orcus and just, like, lay into these undead.
Okay.
You know. 26.
I love it.
So you're just using it as a bludgeoning weapon?
Oh, yeah. I just you know, stand up, smack the shit out of these little gnomes.
Love
say,
it.
Look, I danced with you.
26 is going to hit. Yeah. I danced with you.
We shared a moment.
20 total damage. 12 of it's Jesus. Necrotic, if it makes a difference. I'm sure it might.
It definitely does.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
You slam down into these gnomes who see the Wand of Orcus and look terrified as you pull it out, mm-hmm. and then they are crushed beneath it. So there's still a couple of them on each of you and Glim, and then we will go to Hillup. Hillup, who's just kind of wiggling and writhing around, pulls a baguette out of who knows where and swings to try and hit with it. And you roll for Hillup. And the baguette explodes because it's just
too
a
fresh.
Baguette.
Yeah, but does the shrapnel of the stale baguette get like
it's lodged into the eye of one of them who's looking like he's having just a hard time with it? Like it's not.
That's like really irritating.
It's just bad. And I mean, now it's soft and it's kind of conformed to the eye, so you can't. It's gonna be real yeasty later. it's the gnome's turn, and they are, I said there were two on each, Glim and Varnox. Sully, you've pewed, you're off. There were five over there, and five on Hillup. They are going to try and slam attack you, for lack of a better term. One of them does have a blade, so the one with the blade is going to try and go for Sully. I won't make you roll for that one.
Why not? You didn't like the low rolls I was given?
Didn't like the low rolls I was given. Yeah. That's going to be a 16 to hit with this bladed zombie.
My AC's a 16.
Well, if it meets, it beats. That's 3 piercing damage as he clambers up and runs over to you screaming, ah! And tries to stab into you.
Ow, fuck,
and
jeez.
Does so.
Dick.
The other ones rush over to Glim. The ones who were on Hillop and a couple that were on Sully are going to try and rush over to Glim, and a couple are going to rush over to Varnox. Both of you make a strength saving throw as they jump at you en masse.
14.
22.
22's good. 14, you are weighted down. Like they have your arms pulled down, avoiding the blade where, if at all possible. So to swing, you're going to have to roll with disadvantage, or you're going to have to try and shake him off with a strength saving throw on your next turn.
Okay.
Sully, it's your turn. There's this gnome on top of you who's just impaled you with a dagger.
It's really rude.
Brutal.
I want to take out my dagger and impale him. I've got 2. I can do 2-handed. Haha. So I'm just letting him, like, I guess he can't hang from me because we're like the same size.
They are the same size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like dagger's in me.
Yeah.
I just let him do it. I take both of my hands and I whip out my daggers. And what I want to do is I want to whoosh from side to side right through his ears.
Love it.
Sick.
Ooh, sick.
And instead, oh wait, it's a 17.
Then that definitely works.
Oh yes, I want to stab him in his ears.
You don't need to roll for damage. You're stabbing him into his brain space. So two daggers go in through the ears, and like you feel the blades like shink off of each other inside the head.
Ooh.
And he stops immediately and just kind of slumps as you pull them out, and he slumps to the ground.
Oh, damn, Sully!
He stabbed me in my. In my chest.
I know, that was amazing.
And Glim, as you look down after you say that, there's these gnomes hanging off of your arms, 3 of them on each arm trying to pull this blade. The others on your blade hand are trying to pull your fingers free.
Hey, Glim, it looks like you're like doing a daycare over there and the kids are unruly.
I know, and this is what I would do if I ran a daycare. And then I slam my hand into the wall. I'm just kidding. It's not what I would do if I ran a daycare. Don't ever tell anyone.
Make an unarmed attack.
Don't ask Carla to baby.
23.
That definitely happens.
So with the sword hand, because I want to knock them off.
Yeah, so you got that. So yeah, the 3 that are hanging off your sword hand get flung into the wall, and you hear crushing of bone and matter as they slump to the ground. And you have your sword hand free, but you only have 1 action, so we go to Varnox.
Yep, that's it.
Like, they do good work. I need to remember to talk to them after this is done. So, Sully's getting, like, attacked more than others?
Mm-hmm. Not anymore.
I think it was just that one still
on. Yeah, 2 left to go.
That he killed.
So there's like 3 on Glim, 5 on you.
Oh, okay.
A couple on Sully and a couple on Hillop.
Okay, well, if there's more on me than anyone else, then I'll just start, you know, swinging at the ones on me.
Yeah.
There we go, 21 and 17 total damage.
Swinging down with the Wand of Orcus, you crush through them. Like, they domino effect down and into the wall beside you. One of them gets blasted into the door and, like, crushes through and into the hallway, where beyond, now that the door is open, you hear this, like, nothing that you can pick up as what they're saying, but you hear, like, whispering murmurs and laughter coming from the hallways. Hillop's turn. Yes. That sounds very scary outside. I'm going to try and stab him with my baguette. It's got the warm, crusty parts now. He's going to do so.
Hillop doesn't have weapons or spells or anything. What's Hillop?
That was a 3.
Hillop's a baguette man.
Hillop is here for a party.
He's here.
Yeah, that's
everyone
right.
Takes all their gear.
No, I was not here. I was not prepared to fight an adventure at a party, at Halloween party. Good God. Is that 3?
It
what?
Was a 3.
Yeah, 3. Well, I shall make a sandwich for you. How about that? Would be better than what I'm doing now.
The gnome in front of him just laughs and tries to take a bite out of him, and does so. He just latches onto Hillip's leg and takes his chomp out of him. The three on your other arm, Glim, are going to try and do the same. That's 19.
Oh, that'll do it.
You take a couple chunks out of your arm, and you're going to take six bite damage, piercing damage.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, Varnox, that's going to be a 16.
No, 19.
No, yeah, okay, cool. And Sully, there were a couple on you. That's a natural 20.
Oh, no.
Fucking bring it on.
Well, they're mad now. You stabbed their friend through
the
ear.
They're mad now, but I did only roll a one. Two dice, one plus. So that's five piercing damage.
That's fine.
All right, one more to the top. One more time. We got Sully.
Okay. So two just stabbed me?
Bit me.
Okay, well, while they're... Nommers are on me. I want to. I don't know. I still have my daggers in my hand. So I was like this. And then the guy dropped. And then they bit me. I want to go.
Yeah.
So, like, if they're like biting on my bicep, I want to like stab them kind of from behind.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Doing that. A 13.
Yeah, but they're latched onto you, so it's with advantage for you. So you get to roll again. I think I said 13 hit though, but maybe you get a natural 20.
I didn't. I rolled a 5.
Okay, so definitely hit them. So roll some damage.
Oh, fuck. First dagger for the one on my right is a 4 plus 5, 9. And the other one is a 7.
Daggers go into the tops of the heads of both of these, and they drop as well.
I'm going to have to get a rabies shot or something.
Did you get all the tests done before we went on the road, like I told you to?
No. Hillip, that's psychotic. Who goes for tests and blood tests and immunizations before going to a Halloween party?
But doesn't bring weapons. I don't understand your priorities.
That's quite odd.
The invitation did not say chewy, chewy, nom, nom, zombie gnomes.
It also didn't say bring your own baguette. It wasn't BYOB.
Who leaves home without a baguette?
Like, literally.
Meanwhile, Varnox is bashing my other arm.
Right? It's not even our turn
We're
yet.
Just yelling at each other.
This is what's being said during the fight.
Yeah, exactly. You want to give me an attack roll there, Glim?
Yeah, and I'm just going to try and do the same thing and just hit the other arm. Unarmed strike is +6, so that's a 15.
Love it. Almost like you pin them up. You tell me if this feels right. You pin them up and then stab into them with your blade.
Yeah, I could maybe hold them up and then just kind of do like...
Yeah,
like just disembowel all three, just right across the guts.
That's so much cooler than what I was thinking. I thought you would poke each individual one, but that'd be real awkward.
Just like shanking them held up against the wall.
Well, and her sword
with
is big.
With a long sword?
Yeah, it's
hard.
It's like
you got to have that good reach back.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Yours was cooler.
I don't know how many are left in this room. Varnox, you want to do something cool before Hillip eats a sandwich? And then we...
Yeah.
We can figure these shackles
out. There's a couple more left in there.
Couple more left in here.
There's definitely two on Hillip because he hasn't done anything.
There's like what? Like three on me or something? Four?
Yeah.
There were five,
I think I got them, most of them on the last one. So, you describe what you do and then... It'll take a bunch of them out if it works.
I pull up my hand and I just like do a quick snap, and there's this snap that goes off in all of their heads, and some psychic damage is dealt from it, unless they want to make a intelligence 20 DC save.
They're gonna try.
Wow.
Yeah. Bless them.
Bless them. Bless those little zombie garden.
Yeah. Nope. They definitely didn't do it. That's a 10. They didn't even. They barely made it halfway.
Well, that's 25 psychic damage.
As all of the remaining zombies, countless because I didn't keep track, their heads explode and coat the room.
Oh, gross, but awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, it was real good.
That was pretty cool.
You look over and you see Hillip about ready to take a bite of the baguette as it exploded. And he's,
I will not be eating that one. Maybe we swing by the kitchen later and see if the ghost is a good guy or a bad guy. And maybe he's got some food for us.
Perhaps.
I want to try to like pick the lock on my shackle.
Yeah. You're out of combat now, so you can do what you need to get out of the shackles.
Yeah. Well, I've got, what is it, sleight of hand, is that?
Sleight of hand would be
You need sleight of foot for that one.
Sleight of foot.
Sleight of hand.
I got a +9 in that, so I...
Do you have lockpick tools?
Yes.
All right, good.
Probably, yeah. I was going to say, it'd be weird if you didn't. No, I have a flute.
I left them at home!
I have a flute! Okay.
Roll a d20 plus sleight of hand.
Oh, I have to actually roll for it.
No, it just busts us all up. Come
yay.
On, Russ.
That is a 26.
I want to see how long you're there for.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You maybe play it up a little bit, like, ooh, it's so slippery and you can't do it, but then you have no problem going around and picking the locks on everybody.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm doing
thanks,
you Ollie. Last, Hillip, because you know
sorry.
Why.
Well, I don't specifically know for this reasons why I would have shared, but it's covered in the brain's guts now.
And that's why.
Because do you want it?
No thanks. Do you guys have any idea what Mirror Dude was talking about?
No.
Sounds like I used Varnas did bad things, but you summoned something. Or called something sometime, somewhere, multiple times.
Multiple times and drug something to somewhere they didn't want to go.
It's magic.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, this is not karaoke.
This is Moot's fault. That
Moot's fault.
Dick. I bet this
what
is that
do?
Fucking unicorn.
Unicorn.
Wait. Y'all fucked with a unicorn?
What? Yeah. Not on purpose?
Not on purpose and not...
Okay, hold on.
And
is
not
a unicorn
only one time?
Ooh. This is quite elaborate. Is it
It is quite elaborate. He did sort of have a flair, though.
But
for
his name is not Unicorn. It's Eunice A. Krorn.
I'm hearing it now.
It seems obvious now.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. We did do the thing.
Well,
hold on. I thought mistaken identity, for sure.
I mean, they got Moot. Like, obviously, we'll, like, probably get him back.
I mean, we need to save Moot.
But, I mean, like, that? Like, it was Moot's fault.
So what you're saying, you're going to leave Moot here and you're not going to save him from the unicorn?
No, that was absolutely the opposite. I said we have to save him, but it was definitely his fault.
Yes.
Like, I don't feel guilt over this.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't even have anything to do with it, but, I mean, y'all were cool to hang out with for the party, so I'll give you a hand.
Yeah, I'm real sorry y'all wrapped up in this.
I feel very validated with all of my corn jokes now.
Mm.
So, you know.
Yeah.
You know what? You're right. You psychically were making incredibly bang-on puns, and we still didn't quite realize, which, again, when you say Eunice...
See,
I was
right thinking there. Acorn, and I thought it had something to do with nuts.
Hmm.
That's crazy.
No, bringing a baguette to a party's crazy. Okay, what should we do?
Through the door, smash through the mirror? What do you think?
I mean, the door's smashed through a little bit. We could finish the smashing.
Yeah,
and
you're right. Let's just
go on.
Keep
I'm gonna kick that
going.
Door now. Here I go with my dragon foot.
We cut out into the hall, and then there's this huge foot, and like stumble out as these you're still wearing your costume as all of these spider legs pour out into the wall and into the hall.
Yes. Yep.
Through this door that appeared stronger than it actually was, with this gnome on the other side. You pick yourself up, and the hallway before you, you're the first to see it, but as everybody else joins you, does not look like any of the other hallways. That you're not as well done up or cleaned up or in any pristine, like the wallpaper's peeling off of the walls, the paintings are hanging, and you see you visualize this wave, this ripple that goes down, and like the wallpaper and the wood is like pushing out down this hallway as these whispers intensify.
Are we thinking like Frightener style?
Yeah.
Being no stranger to hallucinatory terrain, is this really happening?
That's a great, or is this as real and everything else was?
Yeah. Or was it all a glamour and it's really just a shell?
Well, the stuff with the hallway, like.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Make an arcana check with advantage for you, Varnox. Okay. Yeah, sure.
26.
What?
Yes, it does appear to be actually happening.
Oh, this is fun.
From haunted house to fun house.
Okay, so, and we think this is, like, ghosties, or what are we...
Well, they did tell us the story. Didn't he tell us the story of the whispering walls? The
eerie laughter, the whispers,
and the faint...
Yeah, and they, like, soaked up the terrible things that happened
tragic
to the people
tales,
in this.
And then we heard the bits and the pieces of the stories that we missed, like... curse befalls, and music sends shivers, and you hear like a plunking
right.
chord.
But isn't that all now a lie?
What?
Because this is
it,
all a trick?
Is it a lie, or
does
that
unicorn have like a spectral
a haunted mansion?
And a butler?
We need to find them in order to find out the exact news, because I am just Hillup, the business partner of Glim. I don't know the rules of this space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was sort of just asking to the room, not
right.
like
oh.
you specifically.
Okay, thanks.
It's not all about you.
That was too much
if
pressure.
If anything, if
that
I
was...
had to sort of create a list of the people
right.
in the room that
I would
ask,
I was at the top.
You wouldn't.
And then,
you wouldn't. You're no longer at
well,
the
top. Well, no. Now that we've proven that I
top.
Don't know, I can be moved from the top in my rightful place down to the next in line.
All right. Mm-hmm. Maybe we just walk down the hall.
I say we just go.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe don't look at anything.
Just close your eyes and go.
No, well, don't close them. Just like look at the floor.
Don't. Why would you close your eyes?
And you see arms shoot out of the walls at him and like grab him and are pulling him to either side. Says, it's not working.
Yeah.
It's not working. Somebody help me. Help me.
Take out a sword. Chop the arms.
Chop the arms coming out of the wall?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or help.
Okay, good.
No,
decisions.
Clarification.
Solve that.
Oh, sorry, his arm, clerical error, sorry.
Yeah. We can replace those, it's fine.
Yep. Right, maybe not his, but you know.
It won't match.
We'll replace it. Yeah.
You chop the arm, and as you chop it, and it goes through as he's screaming, and it falls, and it just falls, and it's a piece of wood that lands down on the ground.
Mm. Ooh.
Says, okay, we got to run fast, I think. Not with the eyes closed, so you can see the arms coming out. And it's okay. 3, 2, 1, go! And he bolts down the hallway.
Yeah.
He still doesn't have a weapon. What?
He's just going for it, though. Look at him run.
He's just, I mean, I'm going to go. I'm going to.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's stuck again now.
Son of a birch.
Okay. Huh? Maybe. Do you. Huh?
What?
Let's do a bit of a skills challenge as we're making our way through this house to try and find Eunice A. Krorn. Eunice A. Krorn. Unicorn.
Unicorn.
Okay, we got it.
Yeah, I know. It was good.
I'm surprised that I was the one who figured it out. You're like, keep transporting against their will from one place to another.
No, that doesn't check out.
Sounds like we've never done that.
Yeah.
Well, I was
good
thinking about me, something I did. Tom's not even here,
and
it's his
fucking
fault.
I thought it was just going to be timey stuff.
fucking unicorn.
So we can go in same initiative order. Sully, Glim, Varnox, Hillup, who is stuck. So arms are shooting out, ghostly apparitions, if you will, trying to capture you as you run by. What do you do to either help yourself or help your group move down swiftly through the hallway?
Okay, you guys, so like, since I was wooded here, these are not all made of the same wood. So I'm going to use my nature to... So you got to look for the ones that are lighter than the others. And those ones, they're brittle. They break easily. That's soft wood. You just, you don't want to use that for nothing. So so I tell them that. And as I run, I use my frightful sword of reflection, but without any of the powers, to purposely hit the ones that are the weak woods.
Okay.
Long-winded, does that work?
Love it. Roll nature.
15
will work.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hit that soft wood.
You are, yeah, you're puncturing all the wood as it's fall, as these arms are shooting out and things are trying to grab you. You are clearing away. You make it down to the end of this hallway. Hillip has made it down. You see Hillip being like pulled. He's got legs through one hole and arms in the other. He's like suspended on either side and he looks over. Sully, help!
And it's not my turn anymore, so I'm
it's not your
leave
turn
them.
Anymore. So Glim and Varnox, as you come up behind Glim, it is your turn. You see that same scene.
And he
He's
is further down.
Oh,
though,
yeah, he
right?
ran very, very fast this time.
Yeah.
So fast.
He was very fast with his no weapons. I think I'm just going to use athletics to try to dodge the arms up and over and maybe like parkour up the wall.
Yeah,
I don't
will.
Know. Let's see how the roll goes. The roll doesn't go great. That is a 9.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So, yeah, you immediately bolt as you're rounding this corner. So you kind of tap Sully, and you're. It looks real cool for the first, like, 5 or 10 feet. You're making your way. You're jumping up on the arms. And then one of them grabs your foot, and you swing, and you smack your head down on the ground. You're going to take... 3 bludgeoning damage.
Ow!
As your forehead meets the floor, and you are now suspended by these ghosts upside down as Varnox and Sully are making their way behind you.
No, I'm in front.
Well, they kind of caught up. Like we're
doing, you know,
like,
what, though,
we're
too?
Doing like group rolls here.
Legs so much longer than mine. Of
That's
course,
true.
She's in front of me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Varnox, you're coming up behind your spider legs, following behind you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull out my days of playing varsity sports ball in Waterdeep and juke and jive my way between these arms with some body deception.
I love it.
Yeah, because that's a skill I'm good at.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Body deception.
27.
Okay, love it. Okay, you make your way. So where do you want to get to Glim and help Glim, or do you want to make your way past Glim, leave Glim for Sully, and make your way to Hillip?
I really want to make my way to Hillip because Hillip's doing not a smart thing.
Yeah, no, it's welcome to Hillip.
Yeah.
Love so. It. It is Hillip's turn. He is otherwise occupied. So you make your way to Hillip on your next turn. You can free him. Sully, it is your turn. So Glim is being suspended as if Glim owes the hallway lunch money.
Give me my money. Back in elementary school, junior high, or whatever cultist version of that would be.
Yeah.
Sully was a gymnast, so he's into the gymnastics. And this isn't really a side of himself that he's shown, but seeing Glim suspended upside down is very upsetting because she's always so strong and like... So he's pulling it out, and he's going to use some acrobatics to essentially hand spring off of one of the hands that comes out, or one of the, like, wooden, that comes out, and then to kind of hand spring and do a backflip and land probably, like, like, waist area. Like, I'm so sorry, my face is near your butt kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And try to add weight to it because he notices that one of them is not one of those strong woods.
Sure.
It's a weak wood. So
yeah, it's got that weak wood.
It's got that weak wood. So, oh, fuck off. 8. I have a +5 in acrobatics. Ridiculous.
So you manage to do the flips and the trips and then you make it and you land on Glim, and now you're face to butt with Glim. The wood was not as weak as you thought it was, though, and it is now extended down and enveloping Glim and you, and is beginning to pull you up into the ceiling. Glim, you are about waist deep, and that means Sully's head is up into the ceiling now as well. It is your turn to try and do something. We've got 1, 2 successes, 2 failures.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's really nice, Sully. Thanks for the hug. I was feeling a bit embarrassed since I really missed that. Okay. What am I good at? Only talking things, so...
Try and reason with this wall.
It's I'm got ears.
I do. Oh, because the ears hear the stuff. Mm. Oh, Amy, very good. Okay, well, maybe... They're hands,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's what we see as hands?
That's what we've established, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to use performance, and I'm going to start singing the hand jive to see if I can get them involved in that and let us go, because they got to use those
gotta
hands,
use them.
You know?
Yeah. If I've known any hand jive, if you hear it, you have to start doing it. As
you
long
have
as
to
it's
do
good
it
enough.
Legally. It's really good.
It's nice.
21.
Heck yeah.
That was a laugh that could have gone either way. I liked it.
Yeah. I really didn't know what was going to happen.
I fucked up, guys. Let's see the same laugh. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Okay. Hand jive begins, and you feel them begin to release and a lull along the hallway. Even Hillips begin to release as well. And he falls flat on the ground, and you two tumble down on the ground as well. As the hand jive is now... careful. As the hand jive is now commencing.
That is not how you hand jive. What did I see when my head was stuck up in the ceiling?
What did you see when your head was stuck up in the ceiling?
Yeah.
You saw a Glim's butt, but if you look to the left,
yes.
You saw like this temporal vortex, like this black space with like colors swirling all around it. You saw ghostly figures moving in and out of the space. You saw off into the distance this light that looked like it was, there's like this greenery beyond it. As you fall to the ground, hand jive is commencing around you. 3 successes. You are able to continue the hand jive and continue this performance all the way down and make your way out of this hallway to where there's a clearing away from all of the whispering and the arms. You are at the base of what appears to be the similar winding staircase that you went down in the tour earlier in the evening.
Wow, that was brilliant. Glim, way to go.
Very.
Well, everybody likes to dance, I think. Especially here. I know they're kind of like trying to kill us now, but everybody's kind of
going. They were going to
moved,
hand
so.
Jive, baby. Should we go up?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, these stairs led to the kitchen earlier. Are we not near that? Or should we look around, see if the entrance to the kitchen's nearby? But I assume based off of everything I've learned so far that this is kind of just... an amorphous house.
Yeah, nothing really seems to be where it was before.
Yeah.
Can we hear Benjamin crying? I'm going to listen really hard.
You listen, you hear the sound of hands clapping and jiving. You don't hear Benjamin crying. You do hear the sound of like a clicking noise.
Well, I don't love that.
I don't think I do either.
No. Yeah.
So up the stairs? Just maybe.
Each step you take, you hear that clicking noise, and it sounds like it's moving above you in whatever ceiling space is above. And you're making your way rounding the staircase. up to the foyer area, and you see the same hallway that you walked down that leads back out and around to the garden and the foyer. There is, of course, the larger staircase that goes upstairs where you were told the Count's quarters were. And as you make your way up to this landing space, the picture frame on the wall, the one that you examined earlier, Varanox, has swung completely open, and you see the image of Lady Isolde, and she is like peeking around a corner. Her eyes are glaring red. Everybody make a saving throw of the Constitution variety.
Add a plus four.
Oh, wait. 21.
Oh, it's still not enough. 6. Oh.
12. Or no, 8. Sorry.
Damn. 25 for me then.
Yours was 8?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You want to roll for Hillip too, please?
He has a 13.
Plus 4, 17. Mm-hmm. Sully and Varanox, you immediately lock eyes with Lady Isolde, and you feel yourself being like pulled forward towards her, as if some sort of force has like lifted you off your feet. Glim and Hillip, you see them; they're walking, narrowly focused on this picture towards Lady Isolde. Glim, I don't. Okay.
Yeah, we need to stop whatever that
hey,
is.
Hey, guys, come on.
Hello?
Maybe we punch them. Drag them down.
Don't.
It won't
no,
hurt if I
who
do
would
it.
Just and punch a defenseless person. Please don't do that.
Punches Varanox in the face for a 14. I mean, misses, but, you know, it's just like...
Lances on.
Yeah. See, it didn't hurt. I was just trying something.
Averting my eyes, I'm going to maybe try and go and attack the picture.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Rather than our friends.
Love it.
So that is a 20... No. Yep, 23.
Stationary object. You yep. got it.
Okay. So that's 10 damage to... a painting.
Okay, you swing down into this painting and a hideous scream comes out. This flashing red light blares. Varanox and Sully, you're immediately snapped out. You've made it like 5 feet, just like reaching out towards this picture frame. This blinding red light and like these ghostly apparitions begin pouring out and into the halls and being sucked up into the walls of the building, and it begins to rumble and shake around you.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, glad I stopped that. This whole situation seems bad now.
Hey, unicorn asshole, come down here and fight like a real horse.
There is a snap. And all four of you find yourselves crouched in a completely uncomfortable and confining cave. And down at the end of this cave, you see the face of the unicorn staring at you. And he says, "How does it feel?"
Yeah, it feels bad. We acknowledge that. I feel like we always did.
Why did you keep doing it?
It was an accident?
You know what? Moot can't actually control it.
It's just, the magic in him, it's unpredictable.
Once he turned into a goat, used to be taller. Oh,
he used to be taller. He was a goat for a while.
Yeah, it was a while.
So
I told you the last time that if it happened again, that you would regret it. Guess what happened? Guess what happened?
I didn't think
I showed up at a fucking potato explosion.
Oh, no.
Oh, so the potato explosion was...
I was trying to make amends and voicing just a party and having a good time, being like, okay, let bygones be bygones. It's been a couple years. They've learned their lesson. And then a fucking potato explosion. Poured into my entire village.
Oh my goodness.
I don't I don't know what to say. I'm really sorry.
I mean, this is there's no excuse.
I'm saying sorry as an apology, not as an admission of guilt, because I cannot control what Moot does.
Moot's his own man.
Lord, I've tried.
And to be fair to these two, they had nothing to do with it. I mean, we don't either.
I'm not laughing.
Are we just guilty by association?
Yeah.
Is that what's going on here?
And it really, let's be honest, it was bad and wrong. I agree. We shouldn't have done it. It was probably frightening and disorienting and angering. But really, haven't you now, in punishment to us and Moot, done the same thing to these two fine gentlemen who have done nothing wrong ever in their lives?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if they have now, like, you know, now they've got vengeance in their hearts and they're going to go after you and make some sort of big party trap?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you thought about that?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I know that hurt unicorns hurt people, but I think you're just sort of perpetuating the cycle, and it's not a great idea.
Yes, no. You're going to stay in this cave for a while. I'm not going to tell you what Varnox has or has not done, but he deserves to stay in this cave for a while, too.
Well, he seemed like nothing but nice to me.
And Hillip? You know what Hillip's done.
Yeah, but being annoying isn't a crime.
Isn't it?
I'm going to take Moot, and he's going to be in my new haunted house for quite some time.
You're having a whole new haunted house?
Well, this one's falling apart.
Are we invited to that one?
Well, I wonder why.
I mean, because aside from this, the rest of the party was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
It was amazing.
I do enjoy
throwing a party, a shindig, if you will. Mr. Mortimer really puts it on. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, where did you find
him?
He was trapped here.
How did you come across this place?
So he won't be at the new party.
Yeah, left in the family.
Oh yeah, it was a family abode. All of the images and stuff, they're actually unicorns that put it on. We were going to have a unicorn themed event, but then the potato incident happened, and I was like, no, Mr. Mortimer,
we could have been at a unicorn themed event, Sully.
Maybe next time.
He disappoints me on so many levels.
You could leave me here. I could come help you plan your next haunted house or event if you want it to be as horrific as this one. I could give you some pointers. Not a bad job. Like you could have upped it up on maybe the blood and gore. Like if the hands weren't made of wood and they were actual dismembered hands, that'd be pretty good.
Yes, that could have been good too.
You know, I can hook you up with some
shock and awe factor.
I can hook you up with some people. Like most people do the blood coming down the walls. I got a guy who can make it come up the walls.
Up the walls?
Up the fucking walls. So.
Oh my God.
I mean, I paid money. I would pay money to see that.
Me too. That's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to stay here and think about what you've done for a little while.
Moot has done.
Moot's gonna come with me. Varnox, once you find a way to get out, to come join me. I am vindictive, so I'm not gonna just let you free, but I will enjoy a party next time around. And Varnox, I'm gonna take you up on that blood up the walls. That's
blood
an
up the walls.
Interesting thing.
Hold on, has Moot completely ruined the party invitation from now on?
Has
like, well, like, are we banned from the future parties?
If you can go a full year without summoning me to a random location with an onslaught of mashed potato and gravy.
Gravy too, huh?
A full year to the day. Then your invite will be sent.
So, Moot, is he, like, in pain or anything? Or...
You hear muffled calls.
Well, at least he's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't... I mean, of course, we are fully on board with never summoning you anywhere ever again.
Absolutely.
1 year, at the very least.
For an entire year.
Proving a pattern at that point, a behavior.
Is the one who is doing the magic. So
Moot lives with me now.
I mean,
that's
makes,
okay.
Makes
it's agreed.
Sense.
Yeah. Like, if Arnox agrees.
If Moot accidentally summons the unicorn, then it doesn't go anywhere because it's with him.
What if Moot just doesn't do magics anymore? Like, we didn't teach him to fight and stuff.
Sure.
Didn't you say it's an accidental thing? It's just kind of like, you mean like...
Well, like if he does magic, like sometimes
magic,
weird stuff happens.
Sometimes there's like a consequence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I've met some
I
like
mean,
that.
I mean,
his
blog has been going really good. You know, the buffet reviews. Maybe he could just focus on that for a while.
Love it. Okay. So what you've convinced me of is sending you home with Moot in this sealed encasement. Where he will be straw-fed buffet materials, not perform magic, and then we'll see you next year at the Crorn Manor Haunted Halloween Extravaganza.
Okay, but if we're straw-feeding him, what? He's in this...
Well, you gotta figure it out.
What comes out, what comes in, what has to come out.
Oh. That's too many logistics for the end of this episode.
Oh, all right.
You hear the sound of hooves clopping. It's like, you'll figure it out. You'll get out. I managed to get out the last time we did this thing. It'll be fine. It'll be okay. Moot, you'll find him out by the front entryway. And you can just, like, glide him down in the carriage. Mr. Mortimer will make sure you get home. Okay. It's been really great talk. Don't let any of the ghosts eat you on the way out.
Oh, okay, thanks for the invitation.
I mean, he was really, honestly, very reasonable.
You know,
yeah.
I've seen worse.
We fade up and out of the cave on all of you stuck in this underground abode and the haunted house beginning to crumble around on top of you. And sure enough, Moot, as if in a certain space-type movie, is floating outside, being escorted by ghostly figures down to the carriage, waiting for you to arrive as the blood moon rises over the haunted house of Count Crorn. Dungeons and Dragons, Halloween at Crorn Manor, Part 2. This episode starred Amy Moore as Sully, Carla Maxted as Glim, with Kyle Classett as Varanox, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Dialogue editing and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Angeron Kirzen, Craig Zeiss, Perry Mady, Old School Gamer D, Kayla Littlejohn, L.A. Branton, Nathaniel Teeter, and Luna. Join us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We're in between seasons, but that doesn't mean the episodes are stopping. We have our monthly Patreon-exclusive podcast available over there right now. 5 seasons, all to catch up on. Plus so much more bonus content, a live show in November, and hangouts. We hang out a lot. It's kind of our thing. So join us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Thank you so much for listening. So you have a great week, and we'll talk again soon.
I love how it was all Tom's fault, and he's not even here.
And he's not even here.
Yeah,
he's
that's
not
great.
Even here.
He will never hear the end of this. Oh. But we shouldn't say anything until the episode comes out, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Definitely yeah. not.
That's right. He won't even know. It'll be a fun surprise
yeah,
for
make
him.
Sure you listen to this one, Tom.
Yeah. There are some repercussions for you.
Right.
Tom.
Way to go, Tom.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Welcome to Beyond the Dark.
Sub-level 19 was nothing like the other floors at Machine Co. There were no alabaster workbenches, no spotless white carpets. Here, it was dank, dark. And that noise. A humming throbbing sound like a sickly heartbeat hiding behind the whir of a great machine. A large metal cage loomed out of the darkness, backlit by an iridescent blue monitor, on which a cursor blinked idly. A metal panel slid out of an aperture in the cage near the monitor, and suddenly the cursor came to life. It read, "Insert hand here."
Beyond the Dark, a sci-fi anthology by Mark R. Healy, creator of The Strata. Find it at beyondthedarkpodcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts.